Amen. I want to welcome everyone there that is listening or here today. This is our Wednesday evening roundtable discussion, and I have Pastor Sam to my right and Pastor Tim to my left, and we're going to really talk about what we feel that is pretty heavy laid on our hearts right now. And you know, there's a theme going on throughout our ministry, talking about really the truth of why we're even here and our purpose of our existence. That's a good way of putting it. And you know, right now, I know myself, and I can tell Pastor Tim is also. We're pretty fired up by the way the churches are really duping their congregations, their people. And, you know, I always used to feel bad about coming against religion and stuff, but the more I hear what is being put into their congregations, the more I'm getting very angry and upset. It's almost like they're prostituting the gospel. Yeah. It's almost like they're prostituting the message, and they're not bringing their people into the Spirit, and they're not bringing their people into salvation, and they're not bringing them into eternal life.
Correct.
And it seems like all they're doing is raising up businesses or raising up their own capital. And, you know, there are some pretty large, well-known individuals, and I don't know if it's appropriate to mention names at this point, but I'm ready to, man, knock them dead, because it's a shame, because there are people that are putting their whole entire heart and trust into the individuals, when the reality of it is they're complete lies. They're all lies. If you search the scriptures of the Holy Bible, and the Bible is the book that we really believe and follow, spiritually written. It has been altered by the canons, and there has been things put in there and taken out. But the majority is well written by the Spirit of God through the apostles and others that wrote it back in the scrolls. But there is a where's that one passage that one individual wrote that we were throwing it on our text today.
Messages?
Yeah, our text message. One from
I got
that,
it right
from
here.
That individual.
It says right
I
here.
I want you to read that.
This was actually posted on Twitter today, and it's going out to the masses, and there's a lot of people logging on to this. It says,
At first, I thought it was directed directly to you.
To me?
No, yeah, because
I was just responding to it.
Because we are talking about sin and coming against these individuals that are really deceiving people. I mean, this is absurd. It's got to stop.
It's got to stop. I
mean, it's got to stop.
He basically posted on here. It's on his official page, by the way.
Wait, before we get started, how many of our listeners right here feel the same way as far as what's out there being spoken by other denominations and other ministries? You haven't really been following them, so you really don't know. Okay, you haven't really been following, so you really don't know. What about you guys? How about you back there? Yeah? You're beginning to start to see what's happening out there?
You know, before I speak this, Pastor Jim, it's really troublesome to know that, and I'm going to use Christianity as an example.
Well, Christianity holds a majority. I mean, you have Christianity or the Western religion. And then you have Muslim, and then you have Judaism, which are probably the largest ones. And then
Christianity talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They talk about Jesus and the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
But what's troublesome is they're not speaking about the resurrection of you, the person, of saying, okay, you know what? Here's the resurrection. You need to come out of soul and come into spirit in order to have eternal life. And they don't tell you how to do this. All they talk about is, hey, Jesus died from the cross for your sins, and he resurrected from the dead. If you believe in that, That's all you need. Not the truth.
Well, let's put it this way. That's all they're talking about is
correct.
And exalting that Jesus is God and Jesus is the one who died for your sins and Jesus, you know, was resurrected from the dead. And it's emphasizing completely in the natural realm of things.
Yeah.
And they're not even bringing you into the equation.
They're just saying that he paid the price for you, and now you're good because you believe it. And that's not the truth.
Where you don't have to take any responsibility for your life, where you don't have to, you know, take any charge over it, where you don't even have to divide spirit and soul.
There's no teaching of this right now. There's no teaching.
I think it's because they're just too concerned about offending people.
I really agree.
I think they're just concerned about causing a friction in their congregation, making people say, well, you know, I don't really want to do all this. I want to live my life. And, you know, why can't I just live my life and think that I have salvation? Because I'm expecting, I expected this one individual called Jesus that paid the price for me.
Well, here's the example. Let me read the example and you can answer it. It says, sin is not an academical problem solved with a thesis.
That's persuasive words.
That's theology.
Yeah. let's baffle them with big words.
The question is not what is sin or where it comes from, but what to do about it. The answer is the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us all from all sin. Understood. God bless you.
That's it.
That's all he said.
And you know what? Jesus died for your sins and that's it. Don't even talk about it anymore. Bottom line.
Why are people still in bondage? Why are so-called Christians that are supposedly believing this, why are they still in bondage to sin? Why are they still have condemnation and guilt and shame, and they're blaming other people, and they're blaming themselves, and they're not finding salvation? It's because of this rhetoric that's going out there, and they're just saying, oh, okay, I must be fine, and they're not coming out of the soul. There's no coming out of the soul.
But see, Jesus said to Nicodemus these words. He said, marvel not, you must be born again.
Yep.
And to be born again, there has to be a death of something. You don't just believe in Jesus and there's a new life there because you believe. To be born again, to be resurrected, there has to be a death before resurrection comes. And that death is that death of the soul we talked about before. But you know, Jesus said, you have to be born again. And Jesus being resurrected is not you being resurrected. That's what you just said.
Right.
And they really put all this validity on the blood of Jesus cleansing you. And the church really preaches that we're wicked, that we're evil, that we're sinners, and that if Jesus didn't die for the cross, we'd all be burning in hell. There's nothing in there about you being transformed. There's nothing in there about you being resurrected, changing the way you think. And that's what our gospel is all about. It's not Jesus doing anything for us. You know, it's about you believing the truth of what he did. We just talked about it. You know, they call Jesus Lord. And that word Lord means someone who has authority, someone who has power. And we just spoke it earlier. He had power over his own will, not power over you to control you.
Soul to get rid of it.
People actually believe that they get possessed by Jesus. He comes into their heart and he takes over and he possesses them. Jesus the man. This is what's preached in the church. If you believe in Jesus, he will come into your heart. He will come into your heart, and he will direct you. He will guide you. When Jesus said, of myself, I can do nothing. I have no power other than my Father gives me. Everything I say, my Father tells me to say. Everything I do, my Father tells me to do, because of myself, I can do nothing. They called him good master. He said, there's none good. Don't call me good. There's none good but the Father.
He said, I must leave you.
Correct.
Go to my Father, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will teach you all things. It's not Jesus coming into your heart.
Right.
It has nothing to do with that. It's the Spirit of God by being transformed out of soul into spirit.
Correct.
And that's where the Spirit of God starts to really lay upon your heart and teach you
all
things.
Well, that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is actually a piece of God who we all are.
Correct.
Correct.
Because of that seed that dwells within us, and when we sacrifice the soul and die to the soul, then the Holy Spirit resurrects.
That's the whole key. No one is preaching to die to yourself. No one is preaching to die to your soul. No one is saying there has to be a death in order to have life. You can't have a life and a life. Two lives together. You have to have a death of the current situation in order to have a new life, resurrection.
Well, this was the message that was spoken just last Sunday. The resurrection has to be spoken.
Correct.
If not, the gospel's just nothing more than
it's
vain.
It's in vain. Exactly. It's in vain. Right.
You know, the way I look at it is they're just showing up, speaking just baffling words, big fat words.
They're educational words.
Yeah, and then they're taking it, and then they're just stealing. They're just taking.
And I'm going to say something you said earlier. Listen, the leaders of these churches don't have this revelation. They don't know it.
I mean, maybe they do. They just don't want to upset the apple cart.
If one thing you know, it's they believe what they're saying 100%. You know, I really believe.
Persecution either. See, the other thing too is, you know, we don't care about being persecuted.
Correct.
We know by speaking the truth, you're going to get persecuted.
Yeah,
you're
going to
be judged. But we don't care.
That's because we don't have nothing to lose.
We care about your life. We care about your life, that you find eternal life and that you have a relationship with God, and yet you release the soul and come in the spirit. That's all we care about.
Correct.
We don't care about any other thing. You can judge us all you want. If you're listening and you think this is out of line, guess what? It's because you don't know the truth.
But
the truth
is
not in you yet.
But you know what, Pastor Tim? You know what I'm really thinking? I'm really thinking that our listeners are getting stirred up.
Yeah.
And what I want to do is I want to challenge them to start questioning their pastors and their spiritual leaders. I want them to start bringing this information up and say, well, can you explain to me, like, how did Jesus Christ take away our sins? And how did this happen? I want to see them stir it up.
How does he fill you?
Yeah. Stir it up.
How does he come into your heart? How does he
ask your leaders, how do I become transformed?
Yeah, how do I become born again?
How do I become born again? Exactly right.
You know, what is it with the soul? And you say that the soul is saved? Well, how's the soul saved? I don't understand. When you have to die to a death. You know, why don't you explain this all
to
me? The
soul is considered self, its will, it's actually human nature. That's what the soul is.
That's it. When they say we were all born in sin, what it was saying is we were born in a soul, which the soul is in the sin, which is the sin nature. So if we were born in sin, we were born as a soul nature, which is sin. Not that we did anything wrong.
No.
We didn't do anything
wrong. You're
just
talking about the nature.
It's right. It's just the nature.
And it's just an influence.
And we have to die to that nature.
Yep.
Nature thought.
Yep.
Emotional thought.
Exactly.
You know, and change the way we're thinking and have the mind of Christ, not the mind of man or soul.
Yep.
And this way we get renewed.
Amen.
And when we are renewed, I mean, Ask your spiritual leaders how to even kill the soul. What kills the soul? We know and we share the love of God is what kills the soul.
Correct. By trusting in Him.
Trusting in Him and laying your life down in His perfect will.
Yep.
Like life is going to give you something, so you can't get upset. You can't get angry.
All the emotions that rise up.
Yeah, can't let the emotions rise up. You just basically have to accept the circumstances and just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you. You know, you turn all things around for the good. Like, I know someone dear to my heart that's here tonight who was a little worried about an apartment, and I kind of giggled to myself, and I said, they got the apartment. They got it. They don't have to be concerned about it. They got it. And I knew they got it. And when I eventually heard that they got it, I kind of giggled to myself. I went, they got it. I knew they were going to get it anyhow. I knew they were going to get it.
Yep.
And when I spoke to them before, when they were getting evicted out of their apartment, I said, don't worry about it, because God's going to turn all things around for the good to those who love Him. And guess what? This is even going to be better than where you were before. And what do you think? Is it better? But is it better? It's better. It's bigger. It's better. It's prettier. It's better location. The whole nine yards.
Better landlord.
Better landlord. The whole nine yards. So, you know, we just have to really realize, you know, what it is to come out of the soul. And soul is nothing more than death.
Yeah.
It really is.
Because
it's worry. It's fear. You know, when you can come out of fear, guess what? You come into perfect love. And this perfect love is what denies the soul and resurrects the spirit. This is what needs to be spoken. These other ministries out there, I'm going to tell you right now, they should be burnt down. They really should. I mean, not a literal fire. I mean, please don't go out there and start lighting fires out there. But what I'm saying is the hand of God needs to come down. Bam!
And they're preaching death.
They are. They're preaching
and they're
death.
They're killing their congregation.
Yep. And they have no life.
No.
And you know, you have to look at, why are you going to church? You're going, I hope, to have an eternal life. I hope to have peace and joy and get some righteousness in you where you don't feel guilty, you don't feel ashamed, and you don't have to be bound by worry and fear and anxiety, and you actually start living and you're not feeling like a lost soul just trying to find your way out of a paper bag. I mean, I hope that's the reason why you're going.
It's like
any other reason.
This is not a habit.
Well, we'll just go to Walmart. Yeah.
It's like what was spoken on Sunday. You're going to church because you have a broken and contrite heart. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You've tried everything the world offers, and it's not satisfying you. You're sick and tired of going up and down and up and down, and you're just sick and tired of this world beating you up. You realize that this world is a cruel, dark, and harmful place, and there's no love in it. And the love of the world is conditional, and you've had enough. And you're saying, if there's a God out there, show me who you are. And that's what they're doing. They have a broken and contrite heart because this world's beat them up. That's why they're going to church. That's what they're looking for. And that's where you're going to find it here. You're not going to find it. They're going to keep putting you in bondage out there. They're gonna keep telling you you're wicked, keep telling you you're a sinner, keep telling you you're horrible, keep telling you you got it, you're okay. As long as you believe in Jesus, you're fine. They're going to keep duping you, so you keep putting that money in a bucket and keep coming and keep coming.
But what the problem is they get weary, and then they accept the lie.
Correct.
And then they just, and then this is what even gets worse. Because of the soul nature filled with pride, they'll now argue and debate
self-righteousness.
No, the false doctrine that they were taught.
Correct.
Because they don't want to be wrong.
They don't want to be wrong.
They don't want to be wrong.
That's exactly right.
And that's why they'll stay in it.
That's right.
And fight you tooth and nail. Yep. And the soul basically wants to preserve itself. Mm-hmm. And that false doctrine that's in the soul wants to preserve itself and say, right, hey, it's not wrong. I've known this for 30-some years.
Right. Yep.
Or 50 years.
Exactly
so
right.
So why are you telling me it's wrong?
Correct.
Let me tell you, we were in that a long time ago, and thank God for God's saving grace that came to us. It brought us out of that, and it showed us the real, true, living way. I mean, the way's always been there. It's just that religion has smothered the way. It smothered the truth.
It just lie keeps the scales on your eyes, and you just stay blinded. The only thing that opens your eyes is the truth. And when the truth is being told, the scales fall off of our eyes, and that's why we can see now. Yeah. But these people here are so deceived because of the lies, and they keep empowering the lies, that the scales are staying on their eyes.
Exactly
and
right.
And then the pride fights the lies and defends it and begins to battle the truth because they don't want to be wrong. They just don't want to accept the fact that they were wrong.
Right.
And it's a shame because all they're doing is now they're raising up more of these liars or whatever you want to call it.
Doctrine
it's a shame.
Demon. It's a doctrine of demon. That's
I said to the pastors earlier today, I said, there's got to be something we got to do. There's got to be something that has to be done. This stuff has to stop. We have to stop the lies that are going on throughout the religious world. I'm not really too concerned about Hindi. I'm not really too concerned about Judaism. I'm not really too concerned about Muslim. I'm really concerned about the ones that are twisting the Christianity truth.
Yeah.
That's the ones that I'm really, really, really hot about. Because I don't have any business. I didn't come to minister to the Jews. You know, I'm not here to save the Jews or tell the Jews to change their doctrine. I'm not here to tell the Hindus to stop worshiping in the Hindu denomination or laws or whatever you want to, or the Muslims. I'm hoping that they'll hear our truth and say, you know what, I want to believe in their God. I really would hope that. But, you know, it seems like, you know, when Jesus was sent to his denomination, it seems like we're sent to our denomination. Yeah. And now we're here to combat the lies that are within that gospel. That's how I feel right now, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, the Buddhist and, you know, that the Asian, the world and stuff like that. Look, I hope the best for them. I really do. I really do. But right now, I'm just fired up on that, on the Christian denomination.
I am too. I mean, I know Pastor Sam feels the same way. It's just because we were raised in that as youth. You know, yeah. And it seems like God's called us back to them because he wants to pull people out of the religious doctrine
and bring
them into truth.
Now, you have to ask yourself, what is the Christian denomination? Well, you got the Baptists, you have Roman Catholic,
Methodist,
the Catholic, the Methodist.
Assembly of God.
Let's break it down so our listeners, they'll say, oh, wow, that's me. You got the Protestants.
Yep.
You got who else?
You got the Lutherans.
The Lutherans.
Episcopals.
Evangelicals.
Evangelicals. Yep.
Presbyterians.
Presbyterians.
You got the Quakers.
The Quakers.
The non-denominational.
You got the non-denominational.
All 400 denominational churches.
That are non-denominational.
Non-denominational, right.
You got the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Any more we got?
Seventh-day Adventists.
Seventh-day Adventists.
The Mormons.
Yeah, very good.
There's still more of them out there that we probably
Jews for Jesus.
Yeah,
we got them too.
Yep.
How about Scientology?
I was just thinking of them.
Scientology.
There's Scientology and Christian Scientology.
And Christian Scientology.
There's two of them.
Christian apologetics. That's another one.
Then Harry Krishnas.
Then you got the Church of the Apostles or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. There's a lot, isn't there?
Yeah.
There is a lot, and there's millions and millions of so-called Christians out there. And the scripture, I mean, if they're all going to be saved for believing in Jesus, then why does the Bible, why does the scripture say this? The scripture says, wide is the road that leads to death, and many there are that find it. But narrow is the road that leads to everlasting life, and few there are that find it.
Yeah.
Why? If there's so many people are going to be saved and taken to heaven in the Christian world, like millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of them. One of the biggest, if not the biggest religion out there. It's one of the biggest. And he says that wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many there are that follow that road. Why? Why do you say that?
I mean, it's a great point, Pastor Sam, because we've been stuck on this one scripture, and it's been hitting us so deeply for the last probably 7 weeks. And it's, Lord, Lord, but I did all these things in your name.
Yep.
Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you.
Yeah. Well, that's all the ministries we just named out.
And it's because they never came out of soul and transformed into spirit.
They didn't become Lord of their own will.
They never did. They never did.
They're calling Jesus Lord when God's saying, I made you a Lord. I made you a conqueror of your will. All that word Lord means is you have authority over your own flesh. Yep. Jesus said in the garden that he said, not my will. Your will be done, Father. Not my will, which wants to run out of here and not die for the sins of the world, but your will be done. And that's how he became Lord, because he was able to control himself through self-control, through truth, and overcome his own will, his own desires to leave and get the heck out of there. He didn't want to die for the sins. He said, if it be your will, let this cup pass from before me. Father, hey, listen, if you got another plan, I'm all for it. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. And until you can overcome your will and lay it down and say, Father, your will be done, you are still not Lord. You are still under another power. And it's not the power of God, it's the power of self.
Yep. Hey, you know, and the Bible even talks about in Revelations where, you know, we must overcome and he will grant us a seat right next to him.
Yep.
But what are we overcoming? It's all those enemies that are within our mind, within our soul, that are being influenced by satanic warfare. And, you know, you can't just blame it on Satan, because it's our self-will.
Correct.
The will is so powerful that it dupes the elect.
Correct.
Well, the soul, and people might not really quite understand this, is the Antichrist.
That's exactly what it is. Correct.
The soul, everybody's thinking the Antichrist is like this
devil.
Superior devil thing that's going to rise up and dictate to the whole, world. But that's not true. The Antichrist is anything against the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit within, the seed of Christ that's within inside of each and every person. You know, we were made and created special. All the angelic host says, what is it with man that is so special that God loves so much? He didn't say, what is it with Christians or whatever? What is it with humans? We're going to bring the women into this too. What is it with humans that God loves so much? And it's because he gave all of us a piece of him.
Correct.
But that piece of him is a seed. It's like God's like one big flower, and the seeds all fell out and created humans, you know? Yep. But there's a soul that's attached to it, and that's what has came through the womb. Yeah. The soul came through the womb and birthed in creation.
That which is that born in flesh is flesh.
What is born in flesh is flesh.
That which is born in spirit is spirit.
Right. So now the flesh in itself has to decrease so that that spirit can increase.
Correct.
And so that's where the born again resurrection life begins.
Yeah.
And people have to understand this mystery or the ancient secrets that have been since the foundations of the world. And this is where I am totally upset about the Christian sect or what have you. But if you really think about it, the whole world really needs to hear the truth. The whole world needs to hear this mystery. The whole world. It's not a Christian gospel. No. I want our listeners to hear that, because I hope and pray we got some Muslims that I met that are hopefully logging on, and they're seeking to know, you know, God. And understand, you know, what is the reason we're even here, you know? And, you know, you can live your life. Go right ahead. Live your life. But I'm going to live my life to destroy the soul and resurrect the spirit. Because you know why? When I do overcome, I'm going to have an eternal life that is going to surpass all understanding. You know, it's not about the big houses and the amount of money we make and the cars and all. It's not about that. It's about denying and sacrificing the soul, the self, the flesh, the nature, and to resurrect, to birth, literally, a piece of God. You know, Jesus did it because he says, if you see me,
you see
the Father. And what he was saying is, I crucified the flesh and I resurrected the Almighty, our Creator.
Yeah. I am who I am.
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
Which is the Father.
You know, going back to the Lord, David in the Bible, he says, the Lord says to my Lord, you know, sit at my right hand or until I make the enemies a footstool.
Yep.
You know, we have to realize who we are. We have to really tap into who we are. We are a piece of God.
Amen.
And we have to deny that emotion, that fear. I'm going to tell you right now, fear is the biggest one. If we can overcome fear, you know, forget about all the anxiety, worry. I'm going to talk right to the root of fear. If we can break fear away, we actually come into what is called perfect love. That perfect love is the resurrection power that builds and lifts up the Son of God. It draws his power and resurrects that mystery of a spirit that is within all of us.
Right.
And this is where we really got to focus on. We got to destroy fear. There should be no fear or worry in us whatsoever. You know, something's brewing inside of us right now, and it's called we're leaning on to covetousness. But we're not going to get into covetousness tonight. We're gonna leave that basis for Sunday. So I want everyone to log in on Sunday and try to grab hold of what we're going to start saying. But I believe we're coming into some exciting times. You know, whether you want to think it's exciting or not, I don't know. But we're coming into some exciting times. And God is going to establish us and raise us up in a power that we have not seen yet. And when I talk about a power that we haven't seen yet, he's given us keys to no different than when Jesus took the two fishes and the loaves of bread and was able to feed the multitudes. Yep. And he was able to give. And that it just multiplied because he gave out of mercy and he gave out of compassion and he gave out of love. And I'm going to tell you right now, he didn't fear. He had no fear. He overcame that fear and came into that perfect love. And there is a power that we have not yet seen. And we have not yet seen on this earth yet. Yep. But yet, we are living in days, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm prophesying this right now because I feel so bold about we are living in these days right now, because how many of us can see just this wickedness that is being poured out? There is a spirit of hatred, and we spoke about those plagues that were coming, yep. And or could they be the seals that are being opened? Sure. And the first one was hatred, yep. And the second one is wars and rumors of wars, and I'm going to tell you right now, this thing is not over yet, and we're going to see some biological stuff coming. Yeah. And then that's going to start affecting our plant life and our food chain
with the
and everything else. And then next thing you know, you're looking at starvation. And I hate to say this, but it's going to get ugly. And you don't think so. You got your head stuck in the sand, and you just want to pretend that everything's going to be okay. But listen, the people who have grabbed this truth and is able to empower the spirit end of yourself, the spirit side of who you are, if you only knew who you are, the power that is going to manifest on earth, because how do you think true revival is really going to come?
Yeah.
How do you think that the gospel that has been lied to, there are people that are trying to bring revivals through the emotional soul.
Correct.
By let's hold it for another 7 more days because look at all the healing signs and wonders that are going on. You know, quick, you got to run to Canada. Quick, you got to run to Texas. You got to go to California. You got to come now because the revivals are here.
But Lord, didn't I heal the sick in your name? Didn't I raise the dead in your name? Didn't I prophesy in your name? Be gone from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. That's what's happening.
And that's that verse that is ringing in all of our spirits right now. But Lord, we did all these things in your name. And he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Look it up. I didn't make that scripture up. We didn't make that scripture up. It's in there.
You know, there's a verse in the scriptures where God says, who will make a house for me to dwell in? And, you know, every single person is the church.
Yeah.
You're a temple of God. And God wants to indwell in every single person. That's why Pastor brought up that little seed that's in every single person. But you know what? If we don't die to soul, that seed will never blossom and resurrect and become Christ. And you become a divine nature of God. It will never happen.
Well, that's a good point that you said, because that's the judgment.
That's the judgment.
How much spirit did you resurrect?
Correct. And that's where you stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Exactly right.
And God's judging you and saying, okay, let me see how much Christ you have.
And it's obvious.
Of my divine nature.
It's obvious that those people said they did the works of religion.
Yeah.
They raised the dead. They had faith to move mountains or whatever they say. But he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. Yep. I never knew you. Obviously, if he was a worker of iniquity, he was working the soulish realm of that person. Never resurrected the spirit at all.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because it says in the last days, the church will play the harlot. Yep. The harlot is playing in the soulish realm. They never come in the spirit. So they're basically going after idol worship, which is one of them is worshiping Jesus. Okay.
Yep.
Because they're saying Jesus paid the price. So that just allows me to just accept and believe it. And they never evolve. They never transform out of that soulish realm and become spirit.
Exactly.
And he says, and it also talks about the beast, and the beast is you. It's that 666. It's human.
Exactly.
It's a human nature. You
it's
never
the
come out of it.
Christ.
Right. And
it's
that soul goes and burns in hell.
Yep.
Correct. But if you stay in it, you will too.
Yep. Everybody's trying to interpret the book of Revelations as this end time, like dictator coming and all this. Man, they got to just look within themselves, because the whole book of Revelations is buried within.
It's the revelation of you.
It's within, because it said the revelations of Jesus Christ, the revelations of Jesus. And obviously, you know, we got to let our listeners really understand that when Jesus Christ did come onto the face of the earth, he was a metaphor, a natural encounter of a spiritual manifestation.
Amen.
You see, and we have to take this and realize that his works were for us to duplicate, but in the spiritual realm.
Correct.
We have to we have to crucify, we got to die with Christ, and we have to resurrect with Christ. Amen. It is a spiritual manifestation that we have to take place and bring this into our life so that the truth will be unfolded. If not, then the Antichrist, and he even said the Antichrist is to come in the last days, and it is here now.
You have to fool the very good.
He was even talking about that it's now.
It's now.
Yep.
Because he said the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right now. It's for eternal life is right now. And everybody thinks, oh, you know what? I'll live my life and then I'll evolve and transform after I die into this glorified body. No. If you don't transform now, you'll never have that eternal life glorified body. You won't have it.
No.
It's a carryover.
Yep. Life right now, this portion of our life in time right now is it. You cannot, when you leave this earthly body, you cannot go to a heavenly place. That's why at that judgment time, they said, but Lord, Lord, we did. And he's like, get away from me. He didn't say, okay, well, let me give you that glorified body, you know. He said, get away from me.
He's looking at him saying, all right, where is my divine nature at? And did you transform into me? Did I become one with you? And he's looking at it and saying, no, you didn't.
That's what he wants to see.
Yeah.
He wants to see himself.
Correct. The image.
God wants to see his image.
Amen.
And he looks at that and says, I don't know you.
Correct.
I don't know
you. It's like
you
stand in front of the mirror and you don't recognize yourself.
You know, by image, we're saying
exactly right.
We're saying attributes. You know, fear, worry, and anxiety all comes from the soul. It develops in the soul. It starts in the soul. And it's basically trying to preserve its life.
It's not a part of God.
Correct.
God has no fear. God has no...
Why do you think you have fear? What do you think in you is fearing? It's not Christ. It's not God.
It's not.
And if worry is not God and anxiety is not God, it comes from that soul trying to protect itself and saying, if they keep going down this road, hearing this truth, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose it. So it's self-protection. The soul is trying to protect itself by giving you fear, worry, and anxiety. But God gives you peace and joy and comforts you. And if we realize that the truth that you hear in here will give you those, if you start applying them, will give you that attributes of God. It's all about his attributes.
Right.
It's all about having the peace and the joy and the righteousness and believe that God is in control of your life and all things work together for good for those who love him, call according to his glory, to his name. And that's the attributes of God is what we're looking for. That's what he's looking for, his attributes. That, you know, that's what we're going to see, attributes.
We have been inviting and getting the word out, and right now we have connected with a lot of people on Facebook and they're liking our pages. I want those that have been connected to us and liking us and following us, I want you to start stirring up this beehive. I really want you to start kicking in the doors and start questioning these spiritual leaders and saying, you know what, I got a ministry that I've been listening to and I want to ask you some questions. I want you to start really questioning these people, and let's see what they say. I bet you they blow you off. If they start blowing you off and saying that, oh, well, you know, this or that, or, well, you know, you have to have an understanding or what have you, and you feel blown off, I'm going to tell you right now, run.
Yes.
Run as fast as you can. Run, 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 run. And then log on to us.
you know, just to make this back his point, he said earlier that everyone has a piece of God in them.
Yeah.
And that piece of God is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear not truth, that little voice inside of you that's real quiet, it's like a baby.
Yeah.
It's in there and it's saying something to you. It's saying this isn't exactly what I think. This isn't really filling me.
It's not going to smell right.
It's
right.
Exactly right.
Exactly.
Something is off here,
yep.
And that little piece of God is there to be a witness to truth inside of every single person. You do have that, and if you're open and honest with yourself, that little voice inside you is going to tell you what he's saying is not true.
Right.
What he's saying is not filling me. What he's saying is not peaceful. What he's saying is not right. And you're going to know that you know that you know. And that's where it all starts. You start hearing that little fragment of God inside of you saying this is wrong. And you start listening to that rather than listening to the other side, which brings fear, worry, and anxiety and every other judgment that you have in your life.
You know, we watch TV just like everybody else out there. And there's
love
these,
it.
There's these Christian channels live that are out
it.
There. But if you notice, all of them are networking together. You know why?
Yeah.
Because they have to keep the same old traditions going because they can't say they were wrong.
Because the
soul, and that's why they're networking.
The soul has created apostles in this world. It says that the devil's created apostles in this world, which is a soul, and has created his own churches. And you're right; they're all networked together. And Pastor said a long time ago, they speak telepathically. The spirit inside of them speaks to each church, and they congregate and they speak the same messages of lies, and they keep that going. You're right; absolutely right about that.
Got to keep it going.
Correct. Well, we got the blue light. And I guess the blue light means that we're time's up. We got 5 minutes
to make some closure statements.
Okay, I gotta learn these lights. But we got 5 minutes, and I guess in this closing statement, I want you to really question. Don't take what you're listening and just begin to start believing. You know, I got some swamp land, that I like to sell you, and it's really good land, you know, a little wet, but, you know.
You can build on it.
Yeah, you put some fans on it, and, you know, it'll dry up, and yeah. You can build on it. You know, don't believe everything you hear.
Question.
Yes, question.
Search it out,
and cry out to God, because I'm going to tell you right now, God is not a respecter of person. You know, he raised us up, and he gave us to be stewards of this grace. Now, I'm grateful, but at the same time, God loves you just as much as he loves us.
Amen.
And if you ask him for a fish, he's not going to give you a serpent. He's going to literally begin to start telling you, if your heart is truly open and you really want to know the truth, he will put in this special little thing I call the sniffer. And you'll be able to start smelling what's good, and you'll start smelling what's bad.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to see his people be deceived or destroyed in any way, shape, or form. And so I'm just, you know, really pleading out right now to question where you're at. Listen to what is going on. I had this one woman who I was ministering to, I don't know how many months ago it was, and I was led there. I know it was just by the Spirit of God because, you know, she was doing a yard sale, and I don't do yard sales. And I said, told my girls, let's go check out this yard sale. And I got done talking to her, and she was really hungry for this truth. She wanted to know. But one of the things she said was, well, I got friends here.
At that one particular establishment.
At that one facility. I got friends here. And I looked at her and my heart was so broken because
misery loves company.
Well, this is what I said in my heart. Your friends aren't going to be able to save you.
Correct.
You know, you more concerned about your friends or you more concerned about your soul or your spirit being saved.
Yeah.
You know, it hurts me so bad when people put the cares and the love of the things of this world, and I'm talking about people too, before and in front of their own personal eternal life.
Yeah.
You know, the worst thing that could happen is you live the rest of your life in a lie. And then when you leave the earth and you actually come to our Creator and he spews these words out, get away from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. And you could have been standing there, but Lord, I had these friends. But Lord, I had these things I had to do. But Lord, I had this that I had. But Lord, I wanted a bigger house, and I really had to go to work, and you don't understand, or whatever it might be. We put things in front of our eternal life. And this is what really saddens my heart.
Yeah.
I hope and pray that our listeners and those that are listening, maybe share this word or this message with others. We're not going to really see this until we leave the earth.
It's going to be like a movie.
It's going to be a movie.
Yeah.
But I know in my heart, and there's some other things that I could share, but let's just say, believe me, it's true.
Look at their fruits.
Yep.
Look at the fruits. You'll know them by their fruits. If everybody's full with fear, worry, and anxiety, what doctrine are you preaching? If no one's changing their thinking, if no one's being transformed and losing the fear, worry, and anxiety. One thing you might not be able to judge truth, but you can certainly judge if you're under fear, worry, and anxiety. You know those things. That's our friends. That's what we've known our whole lives. You can know that. And if you see everyone under the same curse of fear, worry, and anxiety, then it ain't working. The doctrine you're under is not working, and you better start looking out there for the truth. This ministry, log on, listen to the website, listen to the messages, it's transforming.
You know, one thing, everybody's heard of the doctrines that are out there of accept Jesus Christ and, you know, he died on the cross for your sins and you believe in the resurrection, but do you still have fear? Do you still have worry? Do you still have anxiety? If that's the truth that you have those, then you have to question, what am I doing? What am I believing here? So I just want you to take a step back.
And the spirit, is the spirit resurrected?
Right.
No, it's not.
But it's not. Because of the spirit wearing anxiety.
Soul's being resurrected in that.
Correct. So all we're asking you to do is this. Listen to what we have to say. We are so burdened by this word that, you know, we're betting the house that this is the truth because of our conviction about this word that's coming forth. Because we know the other doctrine, and it didn't do anything for us. It didn't. We were still a mess. And there's many Christians out there that are still a mess.
We were getting worse every day.
Right. I mean, I have family members that I know that are still a mess, even though they believe that doctrine, and they stand by it, but they're suffering, and they're going through hardships, and they're like, all right, well, do I get a break here? Am I going to get peace and joy out of this? They're not. They're not finding it. They're not finding salvation. But if you give this a try, trust me, you will have eternal life if you listen to what we have to say. I guarantee it.
Amen.
Amen. We have to close. Thank you for all of you here tonight listening and really embrace what we've just said tonight. And if you have any loved ones out there, shake them up too. You know, I think we have a responsibility and we just can't be passive. And if we know individuals in our lives that may not be, you know, proclaiming that they have truth, proclaiming they have salvation, but the reality is they don't.
No fruit.
I think we have an obligation to at least, you know, put it out there in front of them and say, well, you know, where's your God at? If you're worried and upset and, you know, things of that nature, you know, I truly believe we have a responsibility. I really do, each and every one of us. And, you know, you might have to get some people angry at you, but, you know, it's not about getting their approval. No. It's about getting God's approval. And if you're out there and you're listening and you're one of them, I think God's knocking on your door to say, you know, how much longer are you going to put up with it? If you love that person, you'll at least put it out there for them. And
here's the other thing. If you say you love God, then you'll seek him and you'll ask him about this salvation. You'll say, hey, God, you know, am I really saved? Am I really walking with you? Am I being transformed? Start asking those questions to God and he'll reveal himself because you'll have a conviction and you'll know, you'll say, you know what? If I die today, am I really saved? You know, start putting these questions out and start questioning your salvation because you know what? I would hate to be duped and leave this earth when you got one shot.
It's like Pastor just said.
Yeah.
No matter how many friends you have, you're dying alone. And it's you and God.
Yep.
Your husband's not going to be there to help you. Your kids won't be there to help you. Your wife won't be there to help you. Your friends won't be there to help you. It's you and God. And that's what you better learn now. It better be you and God now. And nobody else even matters. It's you and God. And that's what God wants. He wants to be one-on-one.
Correct.
He wants to be one with you.
Yep. So with that all being said, thank you. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise and stay tuned to hear more.